It's That Podcast, recording live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios. It's That Podcast, featuring Joe Lindholm and Jason Shirley. I digress. Hello, Brent.
You fret. You got a 10-pound shunk and a 5-pound bat.
It's a good man, the community. Sup, hot. Tell him your name sent you.
A3.
Live from Studio B, it's That Podcast, featuring Joe. I digress. And Jason.
Hello, Brent. Give me some of that dogger. This up for yourself. Make it enough. Sup, hot.
Tell him your
it's
name sent you. Sent
you. Live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios.
It's That Podcast.
Welcome to episode 55B of It's That Podcast. I'm your co-host, Joe Lindholm, along with Jason Shirley. Jason, tell me what time it is.
Hit it, boy. You can clap your hands if you like.
It's the only real thing from the halftime show.
That's
so
it. This is the only thing you need from it.
Nope. Anything else? Tape it.
This is from the Big Boy Tiny Desk concert on NPR. It's amazing. This is way better than what I was going to be on TV.
Solutions got Gator belts and petty melts and Monte Carlos
so
and El Dorados. I'm waking up out of my slumber for the light. So follow. It's showtime. Need to follow.
Today, my stepdaughter asked me who was on the halftime show. Teddy, Pendergrass, and I said, Freddie Jackson sipping a milkshake in the stove. I said it was Rune 5, Travis Scott, and Big Boy. And then she asked me, who's Big Boy?
Who? What?
Yeah. And I said, well, it's like hip-hop, but better. Well, I said hip-hop with a twist is what I said. But
well, well played.
Anyway, welcome into the halftime edition of It's That Podcast.
Yeah, man.
I'm not really sure how much we're going to glean from it.
Yeah, it was pretty...
as predicted by Stale. Truly, not to toot my own horn, but toot.
Yeah, you and the coach.
Yeah, 3-0.
Yeah.
Yeah, the coach chimed in, texted Jay in the beginning of this. But yeah, 3-0. That's about it. Time possession, all in the Patriots' favor, almost 2-1. I think 19-something to 10-something, so basically 2-1.
Yeah, well, I thought a turnover early by the Ram may be different.
Yeah, maybe. Never know.
Zero offense.
I mean, the Patriots, Brady threw the interception.
That's what I'm saying.
And then they did nothing with it. Yeah. 3-and-out, I think.
Yep. 3-and-out.
So,
punt team.
And then we had the missed field goal. I believe that's the first, according to the stat that popped up on the screen, it was the first missed field goal in that stadium.
Because Cody Parkey was traded to the Patriots?
Correct.
Or no?
Right. Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
That's the first missed field goal in that stadium. And Gostkowski was perfect up to now, and now he's, well, not perfect.
Now he's not so perfect.
So it's 3-0. Yeah, I mean, what do you really say about it? I mean,
Gurley's
still hurt. C.J. Anderson seems to be getting the bulk of the carries, but he doesn't look great either. The Patriots' defense seemed to have figured it out just in time. And it goes back again. Every time I see the Rams play, I go, we can beat them.
And we saw a play today. That reminded me a little bit of Saints Rams, where there was a no call.
Yeah, that was a pretty bad no call.
Right?
It was on a pass to, I don't remember who it was to, but the DB had his jersey on one side and then reached around and grabbed his jersey on the other side, and they never called it.
Right, nothing.
And again, like we said on the last podcast 2 weeks ago, it's tough to be an NFL official.
No, it
is. It's bang, bang.
Absolutely.
Things move so fast.
So if you're going to have instant replay, let's go more like hockey, where if something didn't happen, but it really happened,
right?
Let's say it happened.
Or more like the CFL.
Okay.
Why can't you just do that?
Oh, yeah. They're always trying to screw you.
They are, Homer.
Roger Goodell.
Yeah, I know exactly. But, again, 3-0. This is going to be a pretty short part of the podcast.
Yeah, because whatever.
Nothing happened, really.
I'd rather play the whole Big Boy Tiny Desk.
Exactly. That would probably get more listens.
Well.
But, at any rate.
Deservedly so.
The music was good, though.
It was.
Yeah. Yeah, we played our vinyl because we have nothing for Jim Nantz. He can go whatever. Oh. So we played vinyl and played our music that we bought today. It's been quite a good little listening treasure trove.
It has, and I would have more for Jim Nantz if somebody was singing a club, but today
he's a great golf announcer.
Not so much.
Yeah, he's a great golf announcer. Football announcer? Yeah, I don't know if he has that in him.
No,
really.
My wife likes to sleep with the Masters.
Why can't we just get? Why can't we just get Gus Johnson?
Yeah, there you go.
Why can't we just get Gus to do all of it every time?
Outstanding.
That's energy.
Well played.
Bringing excitement.
Yes.
Instead of Jim Nantz putting you to sleep. So at any rate,
what did you say? What was that?
Whoa, I said with all due respect.
That doesn't mean you get to say whatever you want to say to me.
Sure as heck does.
No, it doesn't
it's
mean
in
that.
It's in the Geneva Convention.
It's in the Geneva Convention. That's my favorite part of that.
Take that,
It's in the Geneva Convention. So this is going to be the shortest halftime podcast ever at 6 minutes-ish.
Because I actually want to see if Big Boy's going to do something out there. So.
Maybe it'll be more interesting than the game has been so far because it's been pretty boring.
Yeah, man.
About 3 and outs. So, all right. Well, just wanted to jump in, let you guys know that we acknowledge there was a first half of football.
There was a first half.
And that it was, pretty boring.
And other than Tom Brady's mom, somebody cares about it little bit.
Yeah. All right, kids. We'll see you post game. So we'll see you back here post game.
Deuces.
All right, welcome back post game. And as predicted. Oh, wait, somebody's coming in from the other office. Yes. I think I would have rather watched the Oasis documentary twice. While paint was drying, then watch that football game. Because we weren't privy to the commercials, Jay. We were playing music.
Correct.
We didn't really. If you want our post game analysis, we'll give it to you. But what's the point? That game was terrible. There was one roughing the passer call that should have been made, but whatever. It is what it is.
It's bad football.
Yeah. Yeah. Bad football is indeed correct.
But let's go to the fun.
Let's go to the fun part of the show, of the game, because the game was not fun. The game was a chore to watch, quite frankly, if I'm honest.
It was work.
Yeah. We have Mrs. Shirley, Terry Shirley here.
The lovely.
Hi, Terry.
Good evening.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm down here in the
the
man cave.
Indeed. So what we're going to ask you is, before the game, we commission you to give us your 3 or 4 best commercials that you saw. Now, we saw every commercial, but we had no audio. We were down here listening to music. So, what were the 3 or 4 best commercials you saw tonight?
Well, that's a hard call because overall they were meh.
Yeah.
Kind of like the game. Yeah. I mean, they matched the game. Meh. I have to admit, though, the one commercial I saw that I liked the best, mm-hmm. and my husband's going to groan out loud, but it's from the Evil Empire.
Uh-oh.
Who was that, Jason?
Amazon.
No, Amazon's not the Evil Empire. Walmart.
God damn it! Who the hell drug my box?
So, we're just done with phrasing, right?
That's right.
Not a thing anymore?
But if anyone saw it, I mean, I think it conjured up a lot of memories from our childhood and generations next mm-hmm. in line. It's about their grocery pickup.
Oh, yeah.
All the different cars mm-hmm. that come in. And
Jason commented on that.
Yep.
He was looking up and, look at all the different cars.
Yeah, I mean.
Look, there's the Ghostbusters mobile.
Yeah, I caught Scooby-Doo Mystery Machine, Ghostbusters, Back to the Future, DeLorean, Kit the Knight Rider.
Nice.
Bumblebee,
yep.
His little Volkswagen, mm-hmm. Jurassic Park Jeep.
Nice.
The Batmobile, Cars, Lightning McQueen.
Oh, man. I didn't see that.
Did you guys catch the National Lampoon's Vacation Family Truckster?
No.
As they were pulling out, all the suitcases flew off the back, which was classic.
Nice. I got a story about that. We'll do it after the commercial.
And the pup wagon from Dumb and Dumber.
That was in the commercial too?
Yeah. Lloyd. Yes.
Missed all that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So it was a good one.
Carol. Hey, you awake? Because this is about to get weird.
It will get a little weird.
Yeah.
The Alexa Fail ad was probably one of my favorites.
Nice.
Because it's got Harrison Ford in it, and he's one of my all-time favorites.
Sure.
But basically what they were doing is talking about all of the times they tried to put Alexa into different things, like a toothbrush.
I saw something weird like that.
Yeah. And then they did it for Harrison Ford. It was his dog. They had a dog collar that would translate dog. And the dog kept barking, and Alexa kept saying, "We'll order more dog food. You will order more dog food." Yeah. So at the end of the commercial, then the semi pulls up, and they have an in-loader pulling off all of the dog food. So it was pretty funny.
Nice.
But I think one of the best messages, it was a commercial, but very important for the times that we're in,
mm-hmm.
was by the Washington Post. And it was narrated by Tom Hanks.
Oh.
And the tagline at the very end of it was, "Democracy dies in darkness."
Oh.
So I thought that while it's heavy.
Yeah.
You know, for a commercial.
Sure.
It highlighted several of the journalists we've lost in their line of work, mm-hmm. and how important it is for us to be there and be present and to know the story of what's going on. So,
do you remember when that commercial was?
It was at the very end.
Oh, we must have.
Right before the last 2 minutes.
I must have must have been near the 2 minute warning.
Yep. It was right before the 2 minutes. And then, of course, my nostalgic favorite was seeing Carrie Bradshaw again.
It was Carrie Bradshaw and
The dude.
The dude abides.
Correct. Correct. It was the dude.
The dude. And my favorite part of the whole commercial was he walks up to the bar and he orders, I'll have an Artois or Artois instead of a Stella Artois.
Yeah, but he would have had a White Russian.
The bartender asked him, "White Russian, sir?" Right when he walks up, like he's a regular.
Gotcha.
Right? And the catch line, the tagline at the end was, some things are worth, it's worth changing things up when it matters.
Okay.
And something to that effect. Mm-hmm. And it leans back into the clean water initiative that the company backs.
Just thanks a lot, bitch, in Sundance.
That's right.
So those were the highlights. The ones I could have done without. Oh, wait a minute. The Bud Light one with the Game of Thrones crossover.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
I could have done without that.
I like that
The corn syrup one that I watched. I know the gist of it. They're playing on the fact that Coors Light, Miller Lite, in their adjunct, when you make beer, you have to add some sugar to it. Otherwise, the yeast have nothing to eat, so they won't give you the good stuff. They won't give up the alcohol and the bubbles. You can use pretty much anything as long as it has sugar in it.
And they're playing off the whole or corn syrup's sugar. Bad right now.
Right,
so.
Exactly correct.
Boring.
It is.
You're boring, yes. Everybody.
I know.
We're boring, everyone.
I know, Homer, but I'm just making a fact.
The one that was so sad was the McDonald's bacon cheese fries commercial.
When that came up,
it was horrible.
He looked up at the screen and went, "They make bacon cheese fries?
It's new."
And I went, yes.
And I'm like, it's not revolutionary and it's not new. So why are we talking about it?
Yeah.
So. That was my philosophy on the whole McDonald's thing. Not only that, but having Mike Epps and Ken Jeong in it.
Yeah.
Underutilized comic talent. Their lines
Mike Epps is.
They were flat.
Yeah.
It's poor writing. I can't even believe they went along with it.
Yeah.
I think if I were them and I was on set that commercial, I would have been saying, "I would say this, and I'm going to rewrite that." So.
Right. I think they're over.
Their time is done?
I think they're done.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. So. But those were the ones. That and the the electric car one where the guy's walking through the field to the farmhouse. That was Audi.
Mm-hmm.
His grandpa. And grandpa's like, "Yeah, I love you. Come on home. And I've got something for you." And he goes out to the garage and unveils this beautiful electric Audi. And then all of a sudden the guy wakes up. He was choking. And I'm like... What?
That's cruel.
It was gross.
Yeah.
We're all going to be choking on that price tag for that car, too. Not many of us can afford it at 75 G's base.
No.
So
it's because they're stupid. That's why. That's why everybody does everything.
Well, it was not an appealing concept for a car like that. I think they could have done better. Now, the Toyota commercial for the new Supra.
The car looked awesome, by the way.
Yeah. That was a tight commercial.
I was like, look at that.
But then again,
was that Jason Statham?
No, I don't think he was driving, but it was a B team.
Gotcha. It was somebody that bared a striking resemblance to Jason Statham.
Yeah. So that was the highlights. There were the highlights anyway.
No.
Nope. And the Coke commercial was just kind of a warmed over Adventure Time style cartoon.
Really?
Yeah, but it was done in just black and red and white.
Oh.
So it wasn't that fantabulous.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was looking for more from Coke. Sure. I did not get it.
But did not get it.
No.
Did you guys have a commercial on the Super Bowl?
No, we tend not to do Super Bowl commercials.
Yeah. They're expensive.
They are. We get better placement with sponsorships with the college level. Gotcha. And then NBA, yeah, because we sponsor our halftime shows, or we sponsor pregame, right,
or
home run derby, because right, our name's everywhere and in the visuals.
I should probably clarify that you work at State Farm.
I work for State Farm.
Correct.
Yes.
I just want to clarify that.
This is everybody's fault but mine.
That's right.
But I don't work in the creative area anymore.
Right.
But I work over in the technical side of the house now. But
that was the reasoning before, is that just the reach.
For the
is
money,
not what the bang for the buck's not there.
Right. For the money, you get more with sponsorships that are continuous.
Makes sense.
So I'm beginning to wonder, too.
And just for the record, I don't care.
Thank you. I find it interesting, though, that I don't know if companies are choosing to not place ads in the Super Bowl anymore because there are other places to do it.
Yeah.
So that's just food for thought also.
100%. I agree with you.
But I found the opening for the Super Bowl 53 interesting. There are two Illinois connections in that opening. Can you name them?
No. I didn't even see the opening.
Uh-oh.
The national anthem was done by Gladys Knight.
No, it's the actual program opening the CBS did.
Oh.
The NFL and the CBS did like a program open. Peyton Manning.
I completely missed that. We were in here. I think we were wrapping up. Maybe.
It was Peyton Manning in the boardroom pitching his idea for the open.
Okay.
So the open is the pitch of the open. And it's the gladiators, and it's raining sideways, and it's in the big amphitheater, you know, the big in Rome, in the Parthenon, whatever it's called. And he's pitching it, of course, and then pretty soon the phone rings, and he answers, and it's John Malkovich.
Nice.
So I thought it was interesting then that it was funny in the fact that John Malkovich went on this big long monologue then about, you don't need to be in Rome. It's not it's not the history of Rome. It's the history of American football, and
it's
young versus old. It's East versus West. So it was nice. That part was nice. But John Malkovich, I assume.
Nice.
Right?
And I think Eastern.
Then Tony Romo.
That's right, Eastern.
Eastern.
So, that's right.
I thought it was kind of fun to see the Illinois tie-ins, so we'll put a little bow on it right there.
Nice. Excellent. Well, thanks for coming in. Thanks for giving your insight on the commercials, because, I will reiterate,
observations.
Probably more entertaining than the football game.
Yes.
I'm going to guess.
Yes.
Had to have been,
right?
And I may not have caught them all, because I have to admit, I was up and about doing a couple things.
Sure.
I caught more of them than I did the game.
That's probably better. Really, quite frankly, that you didn't watch the game. That's good, because the game was awful.
I'm setting the autopilot, but this better not be a ruse.
A ruse? Bring, bring.
Hello? Hi, it's the 1930s. Can we have our words and clothes and shitty airplane back?
Let's go, kid.
Call you back, 1930s. And hey, watch out for that Adolf Hitler. He's a bad egg.
He's a bad egg is the greatest line from that whole thing.
Yeah, but we're all the bee's knees. But we're all the bee's knees.
We are.
That's
I'm going to use my getaway sticks right now.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming by.
Bye.
Appreciate it. Thanks for showing up. So, again, an awful game, to say the least. I suppose we could talk a little bit about it.
Maybe. I guess. I don't know. Why would we?
I don't know. It seems like a waste of
it kinda
ones
does.
And zeros.
Air. I mean, and we didn't even watch the end, but we're guessing Edelman got the MVP.
Yeah, we just
he should have, because
as soon as victory formation happened, we just left.
He had more receiving yards than the Rams.
Had yards.
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe that's correct.
If there was only some company that
I know, but why
wait,
stats? Why look at true things, man?
Yeah, I know. Let me refresh this real quick, but
yeah.
So I have the most up-to-date information.
You'll notice wherever there's a red square is the day when I've had diarrhea.
That's correct.
That's right. Okay, so Julian Edelman had 10 catches for 141 yards.
Uh-huh.
The Rams' overall total net yards was 260. So they text him on there in the second half.
Yeah, but no.
No, I agree.
Mr. Superman, no here.
That was one. I mean, from a football purist standpoint, it might have been good, but
no.
From a fan standpoint, from
come on,
it was awful.
It really dreadful. Was. It was. It was but hard. It was hard to watch.
I guess the one redeeming quality is I 100% called it in the pregame.
You did.
Yeah, that's it. But that was a 2-foot putt.
And so did the coach.
Yeah, I don't know if you knew this or not, Jay.
Yeah,
Sean McVay.
Yeah,
younger than Bill Belichick.
Really?
Yeah.
I is he? That.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, also, wait, one more thing. Goff?
Yeah.
Younger than Tom Brady.
No.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Well, you see, this is why. This is why we can't have nice things, Barry. You asshole!
Yeah.
That's right.
So, take that, L.A.
Yeah. I wanted to talk for like 30 minutes, 40 minutes about the game when coming down here today.
I'm yeah.
Like, you know, we'll chat it up.
Oh, there's there'll be things.
What complete waste of everybody's time.
Right?
The game sucked.
It did.
I mean, if you're a Patriots fan, you love it.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
All right.
Or now, if you had it aside and wagering, you did. But
now here's a ball tickle for you specifically.
Yes. Okay.
Saints, better game?
Saints, way better game.
Okay. In a dome.
In a dome, Drew Brees at quarterback.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Better game.
And that interception that he threw at the end was ridiculous.
It was.
The back foot.
Not even back foot.
Yeah. I've seen Rex Grossman throw better passes.
Yes.
It was awful.
It was a jump pass.
Basically. Yeah, that's a good call.
I mean, that was jump like intramural deal.
It wasn't good.
No.
No.
But the first thing, as soon as he threw it, you go, you know what, Jay? And I'm like, what? You go,
pick
Goff. Young.
Young. That's right. Young.
He's young.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's it. Yeah. That's the bottom line. I guess we can touch on our purchases today.
Oh, let's do that.
So, because
that makes me happier than this fucking game.
This game is just ridiculous. God. It was so bad.
You know what? I mean, I would have rather come on here and done a two-hour Clemson beating Alabama.
Yes. Yeah.
Than I did for this.
At least,
stuff.
Somebody's doing something.
Except my fucking hot wife was here talking about stuff.
Yeah,
so,
but I'm just saying. But something about something.
Right.
Do something.
Do something.
Don't just three and out.
No.
Every fucking possession is three and out.
No. No. I mean, okay. We're from L.A. You're in a fucking dome, dude.
Right.
Do it.
Yeah.
Right. Get it done.
You should be even better. Right.
Anyway, go ahead.
That's my cough.
I want to hear about your scores today.
So we went pregame. I came down. We went to the two record stores here in town. Two of the three, I should say. We went to the used record store first, so North Street Records first. I didn't find. Let me take that back. Once I get over the hump of the initial purchases I'm going to do, I'm going to spend a lot of money at that place.
Your list.
Yeah.
Once you punch through your like top 10 list of hunts.
Yeah. Like I found two for Jay. No, I found one for Jay.
Oh, at least. No, you found two for me.
Georgia Satellites.
And Jackson Brown the Pretender.
That's right. So
huge for the kid.
So Jason, I found those two albums, the first Georgia Satellites album and Jackson Brown the Pretender for Jay. And then Jay on his own found an Elvis album. Elvis' second album. Yep. And was there another one? Not there.
Correct.
Not there. So then, Jay settled up there. And then we walked over to Waiting Room Records, which is the new record place where you go to buy new records pretty much. They had some used, but not many.
Yeah. And they had like not unattractive young girls, but they were just bitter, just angry.
I don't know about that. They weren't angry.
You don't think?
No.
I thought they were antisocial.
I thought they were two teenage-ish girls.
Okay, there's that. There's college girls angsty.
Sure.
But they felt kind of spiky to me.
That's a good word. It's a good way to describe it. Spiky.
All right.
So we looked through, and we're not that aware. I find nothing on my list. None of my top 10. Even new. Like I don't find Physical Graffiti, Copper Blue. Any of that stuff, right?
Correct.
But I go to the sugar section where I want to find Copper Blue, and they had Sugar's, I guess technically it is their third album, File Under Easy Listening. I'm like, okay. It was $18. I'm like, okay, done. I'm not going home empty-handed. This is what I'm getting. And then at the register, like so many chewing gum packs that Juul puts out.
Right.
That the Juuls puts out for you to buy right last there. Minute, that impulse buy.
Yeah.
They had a new arrivals section.
And Joe says, oh.
And I'm like, oh, it's perfect for this. Sure, sure, sure. And I find
this album
playing in the background, which is Wilco, the album. So I have two. I bought two today. I bought Wilco, the album, and I bought Sugar, File Under, Easy Listening.
Well played, my friend.
And then, as I'm looking through the Jason Isbell, because I'm looking for Southeastern, still can't find it.
Yes, you are.
I found Sirens of the Ditch, which I'm going to get eventually, but I just didn't want to get it today. And I didn't even think two things about it. But then I looked at the cover, and the cover had, it was a special independent record store edition of Sirens of the Ditch that is clear vinyl. And Jay, without hesitating, gave it to me. He's like, mine.
No, I tried to be cool about it.
You
I was
did.
Like,
I got it.
Oh,
yeah,
you know, right. Hey, man, you know, whatever. And then as soon as Joe started to put it back in the thing, I go, I want it.
Just give it to me. So that's about it from the vinyl score action. We still have to go to Reverberation Vinyl.
Yeah.
Right?
We do.
And we still got to go on one more epic trip, maybe to Champaign.
For Record Store Day.
Or maybe Western Suburbs.
Or for both of those.
Chicago.
Correct.
Can't do both. That's a long day.
It's a long day.
We can do one or the other.
Yeah.
But not both.
We can.
So. But yeah, that was our day today. So it was drive down here, go to Cool. We went to have lunch. Had nice piece of fish. I'm just kidding. I didn't have any fish. Record store, home, crappy ass football game.
Oh my God. It was painful.
Yeah. I can't imagine that being entertaining.
No. I mean,
like, who thought that was a fun game to watch?
I don't know. Like we said before, I saw 0 minutes of the Pro Bowl, but it had to be more fun than that.
I got
to
think.
Right? I mean, if they jacked each other off, that would have been more fun.
More entertaining.
For someone. Yeah, no.
So at any rate, as much as I wanted to expound on the game, there's nothing to expound on because the game sucked.
It did suck.
It was 10-3 Patriots, or 13-3 Patriots. Although, let's mention the end.
Yeah, we can do that.
The field goal. There was, what, 6 seconds left?
And no, there was like a $1.50 left.
No. No. The last Zuerlein attempt.
There was
8 seconds left on the
clock. Yeah, man. I'm sorry. My bad.
So you're sitting with a squares pool, let's just say, for example.
And you're sitting there with 3-3.
And you've invested some money.
And you're on
$100
ticket.
$200, $1,000, however much your little squares thing is.
Joey's got a ticket.
And you've got 3-3. How much were you crapping yourself when Zuerlein tried to attempt that field goal with 8 seconds left?
With a 48-yarder. Greg the leg.
Which he...
That should be money.
You make it 10 times out of 10.
Yeah. That should be Hershey squirts, my friend.
Not only missed it. Missed it terribly.
Yeah, didn't even ding.
Wasn't even close.
Wasn't even a dong.
Wasn't even a Cody Parkey.
Nope.
Cody Parkey at least got close.
Ding dong.
Nothing. So, if you're with 3-3, you're jubilant that you missed that field goal. And like I said, I called in the pregame. I had the Pats -2.5 and the under.
You did?
55.5 is a big number, man. I looked at that number. I'm like, yeah. I don't know about that.
Right. And people thought it because, oh, well, Rams, good offense. New England, not a good defense.
Rams offense hasn't been the same since the Bears game.
It hasn't. And I don't know where Todd Gurley went. I mean, the coach emailed me at halftime and was like, oh, where's Gurley? And we're like,
he's hurt.
We think he's hurt. And he's like, hey, can you look up how many grabs he's got? Yeah, he had one catch for a -1 yard.
Yes. Yeah.
Go win a game with that.
Yeah.
No.
Is the game different if he's healthy? Yes, of course it is.
It has to be.
There's clearly something wrong.
But we don't know how bad it is, right?
Right. We have no idea.
I mean, I remember hearing when he got hurt, and I thought, oh, he's out for the season, right? I mean, do you remember that?
Yeah.
And
that's what they were talking anyway.
Right. And then he came back, but not really.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Whatever.
I'd also like to at least acknowledge.
Sure.
That the Hawks are playing better.
Yeah. Ever since you called them out.
Two weeks ago I called them out.
Right?
They are playing better. I'll give them that. They still suck, but
it's for you? I mean, yes. Come on, man.
Yeah, of course. And they sent down Yokoharu, which is finally, that guy sucks. He's not ready.
Don't pass to him.
Yeah, he can't pass.
No.
Look at you. You can't even pass.
No, that guy sucks.
Don't give him the ball. He sucks. You suck. I brought the orange one in. The orange one. We could sit here and expound Clerks lines for hours.
We could.
But we're not going to do that. Because
everybody wants that.
Of course they do. Everybody wants Snoochie Booches.
All right, buddy. Well, we're talking. It's kind of a drought going forward until...
We're in a bit of a sports drought.
Yeah. So we'll bring the coach in. We're going to do a...
we'll do a football wrap-up.
Yeah, we'll do college football wrap-up. We can take a peek at college basketball. And start talking more hot stove because...
I was going to say 2 or 3 weeks.
It's heating up.
Spring training starts. Right now, the knob on the hot stove is broke in the cold position.
You think so?
Yeah, right now.
Wow.
We'll see. We'll see how this week plays out.
All right.
They got to start signing people.
I've got...
Like, that's got to start happening.
I need to look at my watch, Joe. I've got maybe 52 minutes to talk about Machado to the White Sox. No. So give me that.
I don't think it's going to happen, personally.
Oh, okay.
I never thought it was going to happen.
Yeah, all right.
But it may happen. Whatever. It's... Has he been offered a deal? Yes.
Yeah.
That's fact. That's been proven.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it going to be good enough? We'll see. I hope so.
Well, the argument there was team option versus player option.
That I haven't heard details about.
Okay.
What may or may not be holding things up.
And what's so queer to me with that is after 3 years... The team has the option to take him or not. However, if they don't want to, then he can leave, which to me sounds like a team option, but apparently that's
could be,
not.
Could be a mutual option.
Right.
Yeah, that's possible too. Because a player option would be what James Shields had last offseason.
I
nothing,
suck.
Nothing would have
no
made the
one
White
else
Sox
is
going to
pay me $13 million.
Right. No, it was more
except
than that.
Well,
it was a lot. It was like $18, $19, $20 million. But the Padres were picking up most of that tab, so it's
okay.
But the point is, they want to get rid of him, but he invoked his player option, so that's it. Now this year,
he's an innings eater, Joe.
This year, he has a team option, which means he went bye bye.
Yeah,
he's no longer. That doesn't mean he can't come back, I guess, but
for
under that contract. He gone.
Yeah.
Sox had to give him $2 million to go away. So, it's fine.
That's money well spent.
Yes. I agree. I mean, if the White Sox could get one more starter, that'd be good. I mean, you might get Cease halfway through the season if he's ready to go. But I think they're still a year away, even if they get Machado. They still need to figure some stuff out. Excuse me.
Both. I mean, I just said both out loud. But the two people that I've talked to felt the Sox were 2 to 3 years away.
I think they're
not counting you.
They're wild cardy in 2020.
Okay.
Next year, I think next year's going to be another 75 win season probably.
Okay.
But you're going to see improvement. Like they won't be it'll be a good 75 wins instead of a bad 75 or
like
60
year.
Wins where they didn't win 60, they won 59. Oof. I think they were 5903 or something like that.
Okay,
but they lost 100 games. They'll be better. They'll be a better team.
Okay.
I'm confident of that.
All right.
How much better? Are they playoff ready yet? No. No, not at all. Now, if they go out, there was a rumor early on that the Diamondbacks were interested in dealing Zach Greinke because they went out. They went out from under the deal.
Like they dealt.
Which is weird because their local TV deal is one of the best in the country.
Right.
Like in the league. I mean, they make a shit ton of money from their local TV revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Which surprises me that they would go on the cheap and try to get rid of them. But
well,
that's the scuttlebutt. And they
dealt Goldie.
And the Sox have And they did. The Sox have the resources. Excuse me. Damn it.
Grab that cough button, Joe.
Yeah, no doubt. I need one of those. Sox have the trade resources for it. But if they sign Machado, they're not going to have the money for it. You can't afford them both. Unless Diamondbacks kick in some dough. But
okay.
What about the Cub?
I was just going to say, any more word on Johnny Vegas with the bad mullet?
The last I heard?
No.
No, the last thing I heard was he was going to, the team that was in the driver's seat was the Phillies. But
okay. I'm still good with that. I'm a little worried about Bryant's shoulder. I'm not going to say that out loud.
Okay. I think you just did. Okay. Sorry, Zay.
But, yeah.
Yeah. I think the Cubs are, and we talked about this on a previous podcast, them crying poor is the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I wasn't crying poor.
Right. I mean, the Cubs are crying poor, not you. They are crying poor.
Right.
So I don't get that at all.
No. There should be no reason for them to say, oh, I wish we could get that guy. We just don't have the money.
Yeah.
That's... You know what? Your money is fucking printed. I'm going to stay at your hotel in a year from now.
Yeah.
Because I can't get in there until then.
Right.
And that money's green.
Yeah. Last I checked.
Right?
Yeah. Last time I checked.
However.
However. That's not what you called.
No.
All right. We want to thank you guys for listening to this episode. Time clock on the wall, G.
Clock on the wall says it's time to go. But cough up another some one. Folks called to talk about the bull, and you're going to tell them that...
They're awful.
Yeah.
In every way.
And not going to get
stop
better.
Watching. Stop
just,
watching.
No.
Just stop watching them. Yeah. They're awful in every way.
Right.
Please stop until everybody's gone. Then go ahead and back and watch. Until Garpax is gone, until Boylan's gone, until... Yeah.
That's going to have to be it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only Michael reason, Reinsdorf is going to have to remake this his new image.
I'll make you and the world a promise, Jay.
And that would be?
A solemn promise that if they get rid of everybody in this offseason, John Paxson, Gar Forman, Boylan, all gone, they start from scratch, I will become a fan again.
Okay.
I'll watch them. I will pay attention to them. I will be a fan again.
But that's going to take...
But under no circumstances, if any of those three guys are still there next season, no shot. No shot. Sorry to sound like Kaplan, but no shot.
All right.
So as I cough up another lung.
And I say that's well played.
Yeah. So I thank you for listening to this edition of It's That Podcast. We are on Facebook, www.facebook.com/It's That Pod. We're on Twitter. I am at Triple Lindy's. Jason is at J the letter. Sleet Shirley. You can email us at joe@itsthatpodcast.com or jason@itsthatpodcast.com. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and now Alexa by saying, hey, Alexa, play It's That Podcast. We want to thank you guys for listening. Sorry there wasn't more football talk on this episode, but we both feel it wasn't really warranted.
And my wife's hot.
And we didn't really care about the game. At the end, it's like, whatever, this game sucks. And it was bad. You have to admit. Everybody out there needs to admit that this game sucked. But at any rate, we digress. We want to thank you guys for listening, and we hope you enjoyed this episode of It's That Podcast. Fuck the Packers. Yeah.